Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Crotty should not be taken too seriously, especially when they give advice. Do not take Marshall's analogies literally, especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey. The sports thoughts of Rahimi, Harris, and Crotty may change at any time. It's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Rahimi, Harris, and Crotty, 10-2 on 670. The
Chicago Cubs baseball is on the air. It's game two of this best of three National League wild card series. And today they can win the series with a victory over the Padres.
Hope is alive in Chicago.
Andrew Kittredge on the mound. Here's a drive into deep right field. Back goes Suzuki. He'll make the catch, but a run is going to score. San Diego leads 1-0. Left-hander Shota Imanaga will take over on the mound.
Yeah. There's no way he's getting through this game without giving up a home run.
Machado's 0 for 2. Here's the pitch. He swings, drills one deep to left. Going back half at the track near the wall. Looks up. And Machado has gone yard. A two-run job. And San Diego now up 3-0 over the Cubs.
Good job on that, buddy.
San Diego brings in the hard-throwing right-hander Mason Miller.
Fast as a human being has ever thrown a baseball.
He's a freak. He's a basketball.
The pitch on the way. A ground ball to short. Scooped up by Bogarts, goes to second. One over to first. Double play. So the Padres have forced a third and final game, and it's coming up tomorrow.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Ooh, boy, just like that, we have ourselves an elimination game. This is Rahimi, Harrison, Grody. We are broadcasting to you live from Gallagher Way as we get you ready for the deciding game 3 of the wild card series between the Cubs and the Padres. You can hear that game right here, of course, on 670 The Score. Mark Crotty, Marshall Harris, Layla Rahimi, and you. We want to take your calls, by the way, at 1040. Join us if you want to vent, 312-644-6767. You can also text us. We will be able to read your texts as well. When we have breaking news, it's brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. You can see us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Our video team is in effect. Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, and Max Curtis. We are live here thanks to our engineers, C.S. Henderson and Rich Wyatt. They are both here. Rich is waving. Ray Diaz is in the house as well. Robbie Triano is back in the studio. And when I consider what we saw yesterday, the decision to pitch to Manny Machado will be the deciding managerial point of the game in the fifth inning. And while I think that that is something we absolutely have to discuss, given that we gave Craig Counsell his flowers the day before to be able to win game one, Padres take game two, as we discussed, by a final of 3-0. The Cubs offense manages only 4 hits in the ball game, and that is part of my issue with this as well. I hate the fact that we talk about something that should have been the difference maker in the game when it comes to the idea of leaving Shota Imanaga in to throw to Manny Machado, or the fact that they didn't walk him when they had a base open. And instead, we're also talking about this game because even though that did happen, even then, if you had taken that away, one run by the Padres would have won them this game the way the Cubs were hitting.
And the way it was looking, Layla, it looked like that pins and needles feeling that I felt when I watched the first game. It was like, okay, when are the Cubs going to get something going? When are the Cubs going to get something going? The Andrew Kittredge portion of this, giving up the run early, kind of set the tone. But I was like, all right, they should be able to do something off of Dylan Cease. But nothing ever came. And it made me wonder, is this Cubs offense good enough? And when I say that, I mean, yes, they have guys who have been productive throughout the regular season. But when we talk about postseason, we talk about margins getting more and more narrow. And for this to be the way it goes down, where you score one run early and see that become a thing that you can't overcome to even get back even, it felt like a 3-run lead was a 10-run lead, basically, at the end of this game.
Well, and that's it, too, is that when it comes to what we saw, one double doesn't win you a ball game in the Major League Baseball playoffs. Like, I've watched the quad header both days this week. And you know what I saw a lot more of in every other game? Runs being scored by both teams. And that is how they got to this point. They were hitting well in April and May. We know what happened with the 500 record in June. It continued to be about like that when it came to the months of July and August and September. They did enough to get them there. There's no doubt about that. But we knew that this offense had its issues. It is being exposed. You know, they have the phrase built for October. I can't, like, the Padres went out there, and when they thought that they had enough in their bullpen, they got more. They got Mason Miller, and that is a good example of what we saw yesterday. Did you really build this thing for October? 1 double, 3 singles, no runs.
Well, the Cubs were certainly built for October in Game 1 when the bullpen paraded in and Craig Counsell looked great and you got the back-to-back homers from Seiya and Carson Kelly. So for that day, yeah, the Cubs did look like they were built for October. PCA, 0-for-6 in this series with 5 strikeouts. He has just not looked good at the plate. Ian Happ, 0-for-8 with 5 strikeouts as well, hitting third. And we could discuss the lineup a little bit later on. Kyle Tucker, who did have a single yesterday, or was it a double? He had a single, I think.
Single.
He is 1-for-7.
The only double was Seiya.
Right, and he kind of looks like he's on the backfields in training camp, just kind of trying to get back up to where he was. And maybe if we're just like doing the hope thing, that piece of hitting that he had late in the game yesterday for a single could lead into things. Maybe he's seeing the ball better because it doesn't usually start with home runs. It usually starts with a hard single when guys start to get back on track. And you mentioned, too, Marshall, the Andrew Kittredge thing. And he gives up the one run, and obviously, as an opener, you don't want him to give up anything because there's a method to the madness. But what was really upsetting about that, the Jackson Merrill sack fly, was the double steal that happened with Tatis leading the way. And you knew, like, Tatis has been doing this a lot this year, stealing third base. Turns out to be a double steal. That leads to, on a 2-2 count, which should be mentioned, like, that's pretty risky on the part of Tatis. But then Jackson Merrill gets the sack fly. And we know how beautiful the sack fly by Nico Horner was for the Cubs the other day. So they were feeling the same thing. Like, that's a beautiful thing that the Padres did early in that game against the Cubs.
I think the biggest thing for me was watching the game unfold the way it did. It said, oh, this is how the Cubs have been beating people all year long when they haven't had maybe the benefit of the long ball, right? There's no way that this Cubs team should be behind in stolen bases 2-0 when guys like Nico Horner, Dansby Swanson, guys who are proven base stealers, have been getting on base. They just haven't pulled the trigger.
Well, and this is playoff baseball. You know, this is what we talk about. Yes, the 2 home runs back-to-back, they made the right adjustments against Nick Pivetta on Tuesday. There's no doubt about that. They took advantage of the one flaw in the starting pitcher. The bullpen remains expensive and the most crucial acquisition at a trade deadline because of what you just saw. when it works, not only does it work, it shuts it down. Like, Mason Miller looked unstoppable. Like, I don't even know how to describe that 104-mile-an-hour pitch he threw that just absolutely painted the corner and had perfect ride. His breaking ball. What, like, wasn't there a curve at 90? I don't understand these numbers.
Well, it's not even about the numbers themselves. It's you wouldn't even have to have the numbers pop up on the screen to see the visual effect of the reactions of the batters. The Carson Kelly one you're talking about, I don't know that I've ever seen a more perfect pitch ever delivered, because 104.5, hardest pitch ever thrown in the StatCast era, Major League Baseball
history. In the postseason.
Yeah, in the postseason. And it was dotted at the very corner of the strike zone. There was nothing Carson Kelly could do, but because he had seen sliders and fastballs at that point, and they're so different. It was frustrating to watch, but more frustrating is the understanding that he pitched back-to-back days, he went more than three batters in one of them, and he's still available today, according to Mike Schilt.
That's what they say.
That's it. When you're building a team, when you think you have enough, you get more. Jason Adam is down for them. We haven't even talked about him, and he was crucial in this. And that's the difference. You know, it's attrition when you look at it on the part of how Andrew Kittredge was the opener in this. You're already admitting, if you're Craig Counsell, that your starter, Shota Imanaga, has flaws. You've already done that when you decided to throw Kittredge out there. Unfortunately, that still resulted in a run scored. You know, that's the other part of this. And I want to take you guys back to the game last Thursday when we were actually in Wrigley against the Mets. That's when we were over at Old Crow. And that was the game where they lost by a final of 8-5. And let's go back to when Shota Imanaga was pitching in that game, because what did we see happen there? He left with Tyrone Taylor at the plate. He left Shota in too long. Taylor turns on a double. So you had a lesson even within the past week where you saw leaving him in for either a batter too long or knowing that he can give up a home run ball against a team that was practically a playoff team. That taught you a lesson right there. There were signs.
We wondered how quick the hook, how short the leash was going to be on Shota Imanaga. And I think in retrospect, we can all say it wasn't quick enough. The leash was too long. But just the fact that it's game two of a playoff series and that's what you're throwing out there, an opener, it goes back to me. I know it's a bigger picture thing, but hey, Cade Horton's not walking out that tunnel. Justin Steele's not walking out that tunnel. You mentioned
Shota Imanaga isn't walking out of that
tunnel. Yes, April Shota Imanaga. First half, Shota Imanaga's not walking out of that tunnel. And it goes to show what you just said, Layla, about you get to the trade deadline and you make decisions. It feels like Craig Counsell, Jed Hoyer, the gang, they had a very successful afternoon of thrifting at the trade deadline. Meanwhile, somebody said, let's go to the luxury stores and find the best we can get. And that's what Mason Miller is.
They gave up the third best prospect hitting-wise in baseball in DeVries, Leo DeVries. And I remember when we talked about it, Marshall, at the deadline, that we thought that that was probably the most statement-making trade there was. That statement just shows you how to win a ball game.
And the reason it was the biggest statement, Mark, you remember, because we're like, they gave up what? And you could talk about 2032 all you want, but clearly one of these teams on the record is about here and now. Luther Vandross style. Big Luther, not little Luther. Big Luther.
I love when you
never too
music.
Much.
Never too much.
But that's the point. Never too much.
Never
when
enough.
When you think you have enough.
There's a song on Q101 that they play that's Never Enough, so that's my reference to it. But, hey, the good news is that the Cubs should, in theory, I would assume, Daniel Palencia is back and available today. Keller is back and available today. I don't know that Kittredge – could Kittredge go? How many pitches did
Kit,
he throw?
Apparently, as we found out.
Kit,
yeah. It is not Kitty, as we had hoped.
Like from Knight Rider.
Yes.
Old reference right there.
David Hasselhoff, stand up.
Still Michael. One of the hardest theme
Michael.
Songs.
Michael Knight. You're right. It's too hard.
Meow. But yeah, I did prefer Kitty because it just sounded ridiculous. But Kit,
you love a good ridiculous nickname.
I do love a good ridiculous nickname.
But that's the point. The closest thing you have to their guy is Daniel Palencia. So you probably see him today. But unfortunately, it didn't just come down to the one decision. Do all of them matter in a playoff game? Yes. But unfortunately, your team also couldn't hit worth a lick yesterday to score a run.
I know it's an old cliche, Mark, Layla. If you don't score any runs, you can't win the game.
That's true.
If you don't score any runs, you cannot win the game.
Robbie, write that down.
If you don't score runs, you can't win the game. And you're watching that game yesterday, and you're like, okay, when is going to be their opportunity to score a run? Now, this is before I knew that Mike Schilt was like, not only do we have all those guys you saw yesterday available, I'll stretch them out if I have to get to the end of this game. And that's exactly what he did after Dylan Cease.
The question is, did he waste all of his bullets yesterday? And that's really what it comes down to today. You know, that becomes the question. But Mason Miller, to me, looks like he's about 12. So I don't necessarily know that he's going to – what happens? He throws 103 today? Like, oh, it's not 104 and a half? Like, oh, excuse me.
Well, and Bob Suarez comes in for the four-out save.
He's not from the South Side, right?
Well.
Robert Suarez?
Yeah, I just automatically make Roberts Bob's. It just feels good.
It's what like Jose Mesa Hanks? Being
don't worry it's about
Hanks. It's like Jose Mesa being Joe Table. It's the same concept.
Well, by the way, Rob, I liked what just happened with the I'd like to condense the write that down. Just for now on, Robbie, when I say Robbie, you know that that's what I'm saying. Just write that down.
No, that's not enough.
Oh, you need me to say down?
Yes.
Okay,
we
fair
need
enough.
Verbs and objects.
Okay.
Because also you could just be saying his name because you want him to be alerted to something.
and he's alerted every time.
He's not Bob from the South Side. He's Bob from South America because Venezuela.
Right.
So, close enough, though.
It's
close
not
enough.
Inconceivable.
Bob Suarez threw it down yesterday.
Yeah, it's not inconceivable that a Bob Suarez could be living on the South Side of Chicago.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
Not by a long shot.
This segment, by the way, with Raheem Harrison Grody, as we talk about the Cubs' shutout loss yesterday to the Padres.
They didn't score, Layla.
It's brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. They did not, so now we have to scrutinize everything.
There we are.
So let's listen to Craig Counsell talk about why he decided to stay with Shota Imanaga and considered, with first base open, whether or not he wanted to walk Manny Machado.
Look, the result suggested we should have done something different. Really just confidence in Shota. Plain and simple there. I thought he was pitching well. I thought he was throwing the ball really well. Unfortunately, he made a mistake.
Did you consider going to Soroka?
Yeah. We considered walking Machado, wasn't going to put Soroka in, considered walking Machado.
Now, I thought that was interesting because Soroka was never an option in Craig Counsell's mind, right?
Understandable, if that's the case.
And if that's the case, it was just whether or not I walk this guy who has been a playoff monster, who is a future Hall of Famer by my estimation, in a big moment, in a big spot. And I think you've got to choose your spots. I think Craig admits there that he chose wrong. But I want to know, why did he have so much faith in Shota Imanaga?
Well, and like I just said, the Mets loss last Thursday is a good indication of what happened when you leave him in a batter too long. And that was a whisper. Yesterday was a scream. You know, like, that's the other part of this. So when you've got the extra base open, there's no reward for the different ways you've gotten the Padres batters out if you don't advance.
I don't understand why he didn't stick with the model that he was successful with Matthew Boyd, that, you know, one out in the fifth inning, taking him out. And maybe it's because he just had more faith in what Palencia could do coming up against some of the heavies against San Diego. But why not? Why was Soroka not an option? To me, it would have been perfect, and I think everybody would have understood and everybody would have supported it, even if it had not worked yesterday. Because there are, as you guys just said, there are myriad reasons why you should get Shota the heck out of the game at that point. You've done enough. Let's get Soroka in here. Let's do it like you did it the other day. And I don't understand why, like, you could be so analytical one day and have an exact plan, and then all of a sudden you're going with your gut on this day, which I guess you have to leave that open for managers because he's not the first manager that has used his gut. It just doesn't make sense relative to the last 48 hours.
I think for him, it was just about the number of outs. We talk about out-getters. He had gotten 12 outs because Kittredge had started the game, so he thought he'd get one to two more outs before going to the bullpen and lengthening his bullpen in that manner.
I don't want to parse this, but the problem is your gut changes based on the information you have. It's just how much you trust that information. So it's just never really the case. You know, like, if you're good at it and if you understand your numbers, it's not just that. It's never just your gut. And it's never just the information. Not to parse it, not to get all really in the weeds on it, but just as an aside, like, of human nature. None of that takes away the fact that there was only one double hit by the Cubs and only four hits total in the game.
That's why they lost the game, because they couldn't hit. I told you, we told you it was going to take five runs. They didn't get any of them.
Not even 20% of them. Okay, so to class up the joint, we have brought in Curtis Granderson. He is a man who is no stranger to examining playoff baseball. He knows all the lives of a baseball player that they lead, especially this time of year. So we will talk to the Granny Man next on Raheemy Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. A friendly reminder, too, by the way. We're going to take your calls in that segment after Curtis. 312-644-6767. Light them up if you need. Curtis is next on The Score.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Fly ball, left field, hit well. Freeland going back, still going back. And it is gone! This may be the loudest I have ever heard Comerica Park. Two out solo home run for Curtis Granderson.
Swinging a fly ball center field. This is deep. Granderson is going back at the fence. He leaps and he made the catch! He just saved the game! Granderson took a two-run game-winning home run away from Grady Sizemore!
That's in the air to right field. Granderson is back at the track, at the wall, leaping, and he made that catch! Granderson timed it perfectly.
That's a fantastic montage to bring in our next guest. He is a friend of the show. We always love hearing him when he is on. The three-time All-Star, the Major League Baseball and TBS analyst. He is Chicago's own. And with a special announcement, we've got to do this a couple times in the segment. Grand Giving. Yes, Curtis Granderson. The Grand Giving Month is coming up in November. Since 2013, Curtis Granderson's Grand Giving Food Insecurity Awareness Campaign and Fundraiser, which is very important now, in partnership with Mariano's, has raised more than $1.4 million for families in the Chicagoland area. Throughout the month of November, donations can be made at the register or at the self-checkout at Mariano's stores, and it will go directly to the Greater Chicago Food Depository and the Northern Illinois Food Bank. Curtis Granderson, always thinking of others, even us, joining us today here from Gallagher Way. Good to see you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, and what a great day to do it. You know, it's what, October 10 or 2, I'm sorry. The sun is out. We got T-shirts and shorts on in Chicago. Who would have thought that?
Never.
Certainly not me. That is for sure. Curtis, when you see what's transpired over the last 2 days here, what are your overall thoughts heading into game three, winner take all?
Literally, it is winner take all, and you have to be all hands on deck. There is no tomorrow. You can't save anything. Even if you're thinking, okay, whichever team it is, Cubs or Padres, we're setting up for this pitcher or this situation for game one of the DS. No. If they're available and that's your best option, you use them. Then you reset and get ready for Saturday, because the worst thing you want to go, we left our best option on the bench and our next game is April 2026. So try to go ahead and use everything. Empty the tank. Let everyone know. Hopefully you got a good night's sleep. Hopefully you ate good here in Chicago. And you got to put it all on the line. Everybody is available at any time.
I have to say, a little bit disagreement with all three of you at this point on the weather. Now, it is very comfortable. We have been blessed. I could use a slight tint of cool in the air, though. That October playoff feeling. Just a little bit of the chill. Marshall, why are you looking at me like that?
I know, because I remember you started the day yesterday with a hoodie on.
I did.
At the end of the day, you did not have that hoodie on.
You're right. You're right. And I wished I could have kept the hoodie on. I really did. How that said, that would make the conditions even worse for offense, so that's probably good that it's warm. How painful is it when the postseason hits and a team just cannot hit the baseball?
Well, possibly, and you talked about the weather. When I was looking at this series, the anticipation was it's going to be cool. It's October in Chicago, and we saw when the Padres came here at the beginning of the season, it was 45 degrees, and they couldn't get it going on the mound. They also couldn't necessarily get it going offensively, and the Cubs win that series. Fast forward, here we are in October. And it's sunny. This is the weather you have in San Diego.
Yep.
This is the weather that you've played in all season long. So everything that can be beneficial to you for the weather has started to happen. I think that's why you're seeing the electric arms for the Padres. They've been there all year.
Mm-hmm.
But when you add warm elements to it, those arms will definitely play up. Now, the flip side for the Cubs, it is very interesting because this is a team that over the course of the year was in the bottom in terms of total strikeouts. You looked at them and said, hey, this team is going to put the ball in play. They're going to give themselves a chance to be successful and get on base, especially come the postseason. That's what you want. 24 strikeouts later after two games, it is completely flipped. Is it the offense or is it the credit of the Padres pitching staff? And I got to look at 75 degrees. Today it's going to be 78.
Oof.
And that pitching staff with the Padres, I'm looking at it going, it's hard to have that many arms throwing that hard, pitch after pitch, and of course the game time hasn't helped them. The shadows have not been good. You do not want to hit when you can't see, and they're throwing 103.
Curtis, though, as a hitter, you know, and somebody who's watched playoff baseball year in, year out, you're analyzing each game. You guys know the differences that are made when it comes to that guy was a great pickup at the trade deadline for them, or this one's coming through. As a hitter, when you see what's happening, say, with this Cubs team yesterday, for example, and frankly, they didn't manufacture a ton of hits. They just got enough to win the ballgame, good ones, on Monday. Do you think it's a pitch selection issue, too, when you know that these guys are throwing what they are, and it's your job to find fastball, say a Suzuki, find the mistakes? You know, we've seen some at-bats where you might be saying to yourself, could this be done differently?
I think they just can't see. I think it's as simple as that, and I've been on the other side of it as well. 2006, the Detroit Tigers, the team I was on, was playing the New York Yankees in Yankee Stadium. It's a shadow game, 1 o'clock game, and a young Joel Zumaya comes out of the bullpen and strikes out future Hall of Famer Derek Jeter with 100.
Ooh.
Then he goes at Bobby Abreu, gets him out. Then he gets Gary Sheffield, gets him out. He strikes out Alex Rodriguez at 103. And if you watch the pitches and watch the swing, they couldn't see. The shadows were there. And if you have not plus stuff, but plus stuff,
ooh,
you can't see it. And that's what's happening right there. And everyone that's coming out of the bullpen at that point in time in the game has been difficult to hit. Now, today's game time is 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2 hours later. You also have a bullpen that has thrown most of their guys game one and also game two. This will be one of the few times in the season where you see these bullpen arms go out there on back-to-back-to-back outings. You typically don't see that over the course of the regular season. So to your point on if it's a pitch selection, is it a pitch recognition, you have to say there's going to be a little edge of seeing a third time through, less shadows, and some arms that might be slightly fatigued for today's game.
Hear that, Marshall? Put that in your gambling app there, man. Less shadows.
Yeah.
Listen, put it in there.
Like it doesn't have a name. I love that for you, Grody. Curtis, you talk about the time of the game, right? And the shadows. So does that mean that things should be easier for both teams as far as the bullpen goes? Because later in the game, we're talking about 6 o'clock as the sun's kind of down.
I think there's a type of pitch that works very well in the shadows. Obviously, plus fastballs. We've seen that on the Padres.
Right.
But if you have a good changeup or a split, that also works. Two pitches that look very similar, and the shadows make it hard to pick up speed and when it's getting to you. If you have a little hump in it, curveball, slider, lateral movement, cutter, that you can start to distinguish a little bit. So if you have a good fast change or a fast split, those are the arms I'm running to in the shadow times. I don't care what the situation looks like. If the numbers don't look to be in favor, I take the shadows into consideration as long as the clouds tend to stay out of the way, and I'm going with that arm at that moment.
If you're a hitter, like Curtis Granderson is walking up to the plate against Mason Miller, who is throwing just ridiculous stuff, the 104. What is the, like, is it, do you go up to the plate, like, are these hitters like, I got nothing to lose, man. This guy is ridiculous. Like, what is the mindset?
You almost have to take a pinch hitter mindset. Mm. When you pinch hit, one of the things I had to learn is I'm not as amped up as I would be if I was in the game. Mm. So I have to dial it up even more. If we're using a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being fully amped up, 1 meaning I just rolled out of bed, I have to take it to a 15 because that's going to put me right where I need to be. So if I know he's throwing 103, 104, I got to cheat. I'm on the left side of the plate. You know those the rooftop bleachers that are the ones you can't see? That's my target because if everything lines up, I might be in the middle of the field. But if I'm thinking middle of the field, I'm going to be late, and that's what's been happening so far. And again, I look back that Joel Zumaya at bat against Alex Rodriguez in 2006. This is someone with almost 700 home runs, and he had no chance. You're thinking middle of the field and couldn't catch up. It's the same thing that's happening right now.
Wow. It's just really profound when you put it that way because – a lot of times we're like, no, it just can't be that simple. Yes, it can, according to you, and that really does change the dimensions of it. What's funny to me is spending time in San Diego, they have the same issues there. You know, they play sometimes at odd times a day. They have the same type of shadows. They have obstructions. They play downtown, so they have buildings that will create them as well. Could that have benefited them yesterday maybe a little bit more in that case?
It could be part of why we saw the offense not be where we expected it to be with the Padres, a team that has Manny Machado and Bogarts and number of just guys that can move the baseball historically. And this year you go, okay, where's that offense been? Even in these first two games, we're talking about what the Cubs haven't done. The Padres haven't been lighting up the scoreboard either. They didn't blow either one of these two games out. So you're talking about one at-bat away, getting someone on and one big hit, and this thing either could be done with or could be completely flipped on the other side. So I think you have a combination of all those things. The Cubs pitchers have been seen striking out, whereas the Padres pitchers still haven't really got it going and could also be having the same effects. They're just not facing 104, but they're still not able to put great swings on the bats. That's why the scores have been so low.
I look at this matchup, and we all want to talk about the bullpens because they've been so prevalent in both games one and game two. One run allowed combined from the bullpens. But this pitching matchup is so interesting to me. Jameson Taillon, it's Yu Darvish. Taillon, he's got 6 different pitches that he throws. Yu Darvish is like, I'll up that to 9. What do you expect to see with this matchup?
Anything at any time, and it's so crazy with both of them. I mean, you could try to fall into a rhythm and say, okay, I'm looking for a fastball here, but is it the one that cuts? Is it the 2-seam? Is it the 4-seam? Or am I going to take something off? That BP fastball is also another pitch that plays in the mix. That's something that Darvish does so well. You can go to any pitch at any time against any batter in any situation as long as he's in the strike zone. I think the biggest thing is going to come back. Can the Cubs just put the ball in play? Once you do that and get back to what's gotten you here, I think that is going to play well for him. Darvish isn't going to make it easy, but if you put the ball in play, things happen. Guys all of a sudden get a little tight when they're trying to make a play in a winner-go-home series. You throw one away. Then the Wrigley Field fans wake up. And that was one big thing from a TV standpoint, watching. It seemed quiet. Mm-hmm. It seemed dull. It seemed like either they were hungover from the night before or they were just waiting for something to happen. But the energy through the TV was very low. And I think that's something that's got to flip. Being in Wrigley Field, one of the historic, iconic stadiums, with fans that come out and take their shirts off and get the beer snake and do all this stuff, you need that energy again. It's winner go home. Hopefully the Cubs can give them some of that, but even if it's staying close and it's one pitch away or one bat away, that's where they got to also feed off of them. That home field advantage can play to your advantage if they can go ahead and get that energy.
I think the fans were scared to death is what it was, honestly. It's that it's sort of hard to describe from a fan standpoint, that the elation that existed, of course, during the win, and the hyper feeling, it's 10 times worse on the other side, like when you're just like, oh, and it shouldn't be that way. Like when Manny Machado hits that home run, it shouldn't feel like the game is over, but with the Cubs not scoring runs, it kind of felt like that. I guess that said, what did you think about Craig Counsell decision to leave Shota Imanaga in instead of walking Machado or even going to the bullpen in Soroka?
Again, it wasn't a blowout. He didn't seem to be in trouble. It didn't seem like the game was out of hand. He was pitching solid enough, and who knows where the bullpen was feeling prior to, hey, do I know that I have a potential game three here? What do I want to conserve? Because it's different than today. Today, I got to empty it all out.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, I can hold back a little bit and hopefully try to get through because I think everything I have is solid enough. On the flip side, they still were in it. You know, you're still one swing away if you get someone on base and can just put a little pressure on the defense, but they couldn't get that going. And I don't think the bullpen or making a move in that decision was going to change that. There's a good chance that zero would have stayed up there all game just because the Padres were pitching so well.
Curtis, you elevate people. It's what you do. If you're giving the Cubs a pump-em-up speech today, what are you saying?
Isn't this where you want to be? Everything on the line. This is when you were in the backyard as a kid. It was the bottom of the ninth. It was 3-2. And someone threw it to you, and if you missed it, you said, well, they called timeout. Let's do it again. And this is the moment you want. Yes, you would, of course, want to advance and have a couple days off, but wow, I mean, this is what you've dreamed about. You've worked spring training. They went to Japan. They come back. People were writing them off. I think I did an interview after game four of the regular season when the Cubs were 2-2, and everyone goes, what's wrong with the team? Well, they've just been halfway across the world. They're trying to come back. They're trying to get the jet lag out of them, and now here you are with a chance to advance to the NLDS. What more could you want? If that doesn't get you amped up, then go ahead and leave, and we'll get somebody else up in here for it. So that is what you need.
Did you have dreams of playing for the Cubs or the Sox?
If I would have had a chance to come home, it would have been awesome. I looked at it, and early on in my career, I don't know if I could have handled it.
Yeah.
The number of ticket requests I would get day in, day out for a 2-3-game series was insane.
It's a lot.
After you finish a game in a series, you know, you either fly out of Midway or fly out of O'Hare. As long as there's not much traffic, you're there in about 30, 45 minutes. I would pass out on that flight because I was so exhausted from that three-game set here. So I don't know if I could have done 162 at that point in my career.
Understood.
Later in my career, I think I would have been able to get around it because you've already been to a game. I've gotten you tickets. Now just come out and support on your own dime, and I'll see you afterwards to get something to eat.
Or it's the flip side where your salary is just for charity at that point. You're buying sections of tickets.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, I would need – let's see. For me, I would have had to get – yeah, give me some bleacher seats. If you get there on time, you could sit behind me in center. If not, you're on your own.
Love it. Curtis Granderson, thank you so much for joining us. And once again, you're doing it big. Food insecurity is getting more and more prevalent with our changing world and everything going on. What can you tell us about Grand Giving Month?
You know, one of the biggest things, we started Grand Giving in 2013, and it's been amazing just to see the number of people that want to help people that don't know where their next meal is coming from. When we first started this, $1 would get you almost up to 7 meals, depending on the different food banks and markets you were looking at. As we sit here and talk today, $1 gives you up to three meals. So as the economy has stretched everybody, including those that don't know where their next meal is coming from, this is even more important just to bring attention and recognition to it, because a lot of people don't know exactly what food insecurity is. So I encourage everybody that's here listening to the show that's going to be at the game, if you can make it to Mariano's over the month of November, when they ask you to donate at the register, every little bit helps. If you don't have a Mariano's by you, you can go to grandgiving.org.
You make
that's
it easy.
Grandgiving.org for those of you that don't have a Mariano's. I'm going to say it a third time. Grandgiving.org, and you can help fight food insecurity for all those that need it.
We love it. Curtis, thank you so much for joining us today. Thanks for imparting the knowledge as well. We will look for it during the game.
Thank you. Hopefully that energy is there. Let's see what happens.
The man makes us feel better. Curtis Granderson, thank you so much. We're going to take your calls next on Raheemy Harrison Grody, 312-644-6767. How do you feel about the Cubs game last night? What do you think about today? We'll do it next.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Raheemy Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score, and we want to remind you that we are live from our new home, Gallagher Way. Today is game 3 between the Cubs and Padres in the National Wild Card Series. It is do or die here at Wrigley Field. Lawrence Holmes and Russ Dorsey will be here after us from 2 to 3:30. Then it is the official pregame coverage beginning at 3:30. First pitch is at 4:08. Every local broadcast of Cubs playoff baseball can be heard right here on The Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. Curtis Granderson was kind enough to join us. And then as he was leaving, he was kind enough to just talk to a parent and his kid about watching ball. They were just hanging out, and he came over and talked to them because he's that person.
He was just working on the little running stance, like this is what you want to do if you want to take off and steal a base. Just taking his time, you know. He's like, I don't have to be anywhere for another minute, so I'm going to, you know, interact with the people.
The man helps everyone. He truly does. So now we turn over our phone lines to you, 312-644-6767. Let's start with Matt in Chicago. Matt, you're on Raheemy Harrison Grody.
Hey, thanks so much. You know, and I love what you said, built for October, and Hap, Tucker, PCA, 0 for 8, 1 for 8. zero for eight, not happening. Look at the Yankees ace last night. That was built for October. Jazz Chisholm scoring on a two out single. You know, Aaron Judge closing it out on that deep fly in the ninth. You know, that just wasn't happening yesterday. Was at the game. And my idea, and I know this isn't going to happen because Tyler Tucker is, of course, critical to our organization, at least for this year. But DH is in play today. It should be in play. Ballesteros should get a look there. You know, Tucker's supposed to be getting the biggest contract next year. He's not a 110 RBI guy. He's not a 100 RBI guy. He's not a 90. He's not an 80 RBI guy. He is the guy that's supposed to be central hitter in our lineup, and he's not, and it hasn't been happening. And actually, I think it's putting too much pressure on PCA, who is our future. You'll note PCA started heating up late in the season with Ballesteros, with all that contact, in the lineup.
Yeah, and I'll say, look, Jazz Chisholm did last night what I was hoping PCA would do eventually and still might do in a series and has done before, where he literally scored that run with speed. Not many guys are going to score in that electric of fashion last night. But to your point, you know, Tucker has been hitting fourth and DHing. This is something that I thought about, and I know we'll probably talk more about the lineup later, but yeah, man, I mean, do you take that Kyle Tucker single in the eighth and say, he might be starting, he might be there? Can you, with all the grit in the world, take that guy out of your lineup and put Ballesteros in as your DH? It would be tough to do something like that.
I know Ballesteros' playoff experience so far has not been pleasant because, well, he came in to face Mason Miller.
Mason Miller, like, of all the things. Okay. Well, you've seen the best. Now you get to see the rest.
There's baptism by fire, and then there's just being dropped into a volcano. And
so you guys are out on that?
I think it should be at least be discussed. There's a reason he had at-bats in this playoff series. Let's go to Carl in Antioch. Carl, you're on with Rahimi, Harris, and Grody.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, Layla, you know, on NBC Sports Sunday, you've read over a dozen of my tweets during that final segment, so you finally get to put a voice to Carl Grabowski, whose tweets you read all those years.
Oh, my goodness, I do. Thank you for chiming into the fan zone.
Carl Grabowski.
Thanks,
oh, we got,
Carl.
We got a real one on here,
I
man.
Love it. And maybe later I can actually meet you in person, and then we completed the circle. Well, what's on your mind?
So I got three quick points here, all right? The first one is obviously, I'm just going to chime, I don't like, Council seems to be just managing as if it's a sprint, not a marathon, and not. I'm sorry. You know what I mean. But
marathon,
you know,
not a sprint. Like,
you got it, Carl.
Yeah. But passing on a chicken quesadilla and then asking for an extra hard-boiled egg on the chef's salad doesn't really make sense. I think that Palencia needs to come in the middle of the game. If it's a close game, has to face Tatis and Machado in the middle of the game if it's close. And the third thing is PCA needs to be benched. You need to focus on offensive production because that is what is needed to get over this hump. You can't play him based on what he did in April, May, and June. You have to sacrifice his defensive contribution and his speed to replace him with offensive producers because that is what is needed while our backs are against the wall. When we get to the second round, we could reset. You could bat him lead off, bat him ninth. But to start him puts a bad energy in the dugout, a bad energy in the batter's box, and it lets the players know that Council isn't trying to make the hard choice. You got to be the father that grounds your child for a month because they were 10 minutes late past curfew. And you have to do it now, and PCA should be benched and bring him in for a base running or a defensive replacement based on the situation. You got to coach situational baseball. Every chess move is important, and this is the time to put your thinking cap on. Craig Council, this is what you got paid for. Show us what you got, buddy, because I'm getting ticked off with paying these players money to not produce and then paying players money, not paying players money that do produce and trading talent just to sit here and have my whole season end and then have to watch the Bears win six games. Oh, and it's not even Halloween. I love you.
You
Let's
are
go,
Carl Grabowski. You are Carl Grabowski.
Why
Say
do the
it.
Bears have to be brought into this?
Because the Bears have to be brought into this.
I get it.
Bears. Carl, I hope they play for you today. That's it. That's our ender. I'm sorry we didn't get to the other calls.
Layla, why did you not tell me you had a friend named Carl Grabowski? Why do I have to find out this now?
I was not familiar with his game. I was always like, oh, this guy's good for an opinion. Like, okay. Clearly.
That was good stuff, Carl.
Hold on. Can we produce on the fly since we got a couple more calls? Do we want to take them at 11? Hold on, callers.
I like that.
We'll be back the next hour. More with Rahimi Harris, Grody, and Carl on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.